There's nothing on this planet, nothing any politician, nothing anybody, nothing anything can promise you that can ever take what God has promised you. We worry about so many stupid things, and God said, trust me. That's all he's ever asked. I don't want to get into my message right now, but this one's been bubbling. But I'm going to tell you right now, all he's ever asked us to do is trust him. Well, God told me I need to go to China. Well, why are you still here? Well, the stuff's not there. Well, if God said to do it now, it'll happen. If not, he didn't say to do it. You got into somebody else's wavelength. I don't know. But when he tells you something and to act now, he provides. And he doesn't always say, oh, by the way, here's the plane ticket. You may just have to get everything. Because here's the thing. If God has ever led any one of you to go to another country to minister, the first thing I have to ask you is, where's your passport? Oh, I don't have one. Well, you ain't ready to go yet. That's just all there is to it. Don't tell me God called you to go to Ecuador or Argentina or Brazil or any other country if you ain't got a passport. Just all there is to it. You weren't going to begin with. And then you wonder why God is opposing you. By the way, it is God. It's not always the devil that's opposing us. Sometimes God says, all right, whoop, got to direct you. You know, I mean, Joshua and Tony will be learning here within the next year all about that, blocking and redirecting stuff. Nope, you can't go here. Got to block you here. Got to block you there. You know, you guys have already got a good experience of it, but you get another dose of it. Need to build a cage. See, we had a dog pen when I was little. I mean, it was huge. It really was. We had grapevines growing up. We'd go out there, shut the door, and lock the little ones in it. At least I did. Mom found out later, and I got beat for it. But anyhow, praise God. Just hold on to the promises God's made you. You need to get in the Bible and find them. And say, well, you know, I read where God promised Israel. Listen, you need to be forgetting what God promised Israel. Find out what God promised you. Find out what he said to those who are redeemed. Wherever it says redeemed, that's you. Everybody wants to go into prophecies and read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these, and they want to pull out prophecies God gave specifically about Israel's rebellion and say, well, that's America. That's a twofold prophecy. That is us today or Israel today. No, God was giving them a prophecy right then and there about what's going to happen. I'm going to get into a whole lot of all kinds of stuff if I don't just shut up. It's all good stuff, but it ain't what God wants for today. But I'm just telling you, find his promises. When he says, I will do this, if it will be well, just like this. He said, this is a promise you have. If you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I will cause the windows of heaven to open up blessing. Listen, the Bible says men will give unto our gift. If you're one of those people that can't accept something from somebody, you are prideful. That's the problem. And I've had to learn to just swallow that pride and say, you know what? Somebody wants to bless me? Here I am. You know, I know I've said that a lot over the years, but there was always a part of me that was just like, yeah, that ain't. Finally, I've got to the point, you know what? You want to give me something? I ain't going to fight you. Give it to me. But please remember, it's mine when you give it to me. I've had people try it. Now, you give that back. You don't want. You gave it to me. It is now mine. Maybe I didn't need that, but maybe I did need to sell that for money. Maybe I needed to buy that plane ticket to China. Who knows? Maybe you provided that. And if you provided that, guess what? You are part of the reward for every soul saved, every life changed. So don't ever think that God's not hearing what's going on. He's not seeing, but Anyhow, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you for your many blessings, your many promises in your word for the redeemed. Lord, we stand as a testament to the fact that if you said that if we would bring forth the tithe and offering into the storehouse, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there would not be room enough for us to receive it. That you would rebuke the devourer for our sake and that our crops will not die in the field. So, Father, I thank you and praise you, and I receive your blessings. And I receive your blessings on behalf of each and every faithful tither. Every seed that is sown, may it come back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a moment. We have one thing I want to do. We'll dismiss the kids in just a second. Whenever we have somebody who has said, you know, I'm going to be a member of this church, and pretty much, those of you who are members, you know what it means. There's a little responsibility for each one of us, but it's also us standing up and saying, hey, I'm going to help serve. I'm going to serve. That is the number one thing. We're all different parts. There can only be one head. There's sometimes I would rather be a fist, but that is not my calling. Mine's the head. Some of you, you may be a thumb. I don't know. But you have an integral part in this body. And so with that, Jason Haycock, if you come up, Jason, has become a member. And thank you, sir. And, if you haven't noticed, he has been taking over duties as sound, and him and Jesse now bouncing back and forth in there. But we're going to just keep growing. And I'm going to tell you right now, this really is, I think, something pretty cool. Because Jason's one of these that I got to watch grow up in the church. And, you know, all of Phil's kids are sitting right there. They are right there in the row. And he's got grandkids. You know, and God is faithful to his promises. And this is one of the promises. Our children, if we will live a righteous life, they will follow suit. So hold on to that promise. Amen? Thank you, buddy. All right, now the super kids are dismissed. All you little ones, you can terrorize your teachers. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know, y'all know, I've actually had fun with Grayson the last probably about month, I guess, since I taught him to do the And I told Angela, I said, I cannot wait to teach Carter this. And then Grayson did it's so cute and hilarious. He's already gone, so I can't tell Phil. See, Phil taught Grayson to, I forget what he did to me when he was first starting to learn to talk and really was just walking. He taught him something, and I tried to teach him something about his grandpa, and he wouldn't believe it. So he would not do it to his grandpa, but I've got my own weapon now. And I will activate it. Oh, no, praise God. I promise not to be part of raising a terror. I mean, anything that happens, that's just natural, okay? Oh, praise God. How many of you, you've eaten the Neapolitan ice cream or a creamsicle, you know, with the sherbet orange lining with the creamy inside? You get a dual flavor. Sometimes you get the orange flavor, which I love. I love Neapolitan ice cream, especially Breyers, because their chocolate does not taste the same as the chocolate in the Neapolitan. But one bite, you get a little bit of, you just get all vanilla, or you might get that blended part, or you get the strawberry and chocolate, and you get a mix. And so you get a little flavor, a little different flavoring, because you got two or three different things going on. Well, welcome to Neapolitan Sunday. The reason I say that is I was like, man, God, you stirred in something me the other day, and And I was thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it, and it's like, wait a minute, where'd that start from? And I went back to where it started from, and it's like, well, that's almost two different messages, God, but we're going to just keep, I said, I guess it's just going to be a two-flavor Sunday. That's being, you know, banana splits. Y'all getting the hint of it now. And I actually want some ice cream right now, so I will shut up. But the other day, Angela and I, Friday morning, we were sitting on the porch, and she, you know, we were just taking in everything that was about to happen. Tony was supposed to be induced at 8 o'clock that night, and we were talking about that, and it's like, well, you know, this, what's it going to be like, you know? And the whole things, and we were talking, so she was reading out of her one little devotional, and it was talking about our desire for heaven is to be in God's, and the reason we have a desire for heaven is to be in God's presence. And that is absolutely true. But what I want to pull and show you more than anything is what God's purpose for us being here really is. It's not so that we sit around, oh, Lord Jesus, please come take me out of here quickly. We have a command from God in Genesis 1 that is still in effect today. And that's in 1:28. And he said, here's the earth. I give you authority to have dominion over everything that is on the earth. Subdue it. Bring it into subjection. God told us to do this. Now, but later on in Genesis, it also says that God created, or he planted, let me rephrase that. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. Eden was not the name of the garden. Eden was the name of the landmass. Scientists today call it Pangaea. But it was called Eden in God's world. And in the east of it, God planted a garden. How many of you plant flowers in gardens? Right? A lot of us. Do you, unless it's wildflowers, do you just throw your seeds? No. You put them in an order. There's a specific thing. And why do you do that? Anybody who's a serious gardener knows there's certain things you don't plant next to other things. You never plant anything around a walnut tree. You can forget that. Forget the grass growing worth anything. You don't plant certain plants next to each other. They will fight each other and they will actually harm each other. So in God's world, there in heaven, I mean, here down here, we're all thinking about houses and New Jerusalem. You know, we got the picture of Revelation. It's all a big city coming down. I'm like, God, I'm not a city slicker. I don't want to live in the city. Took me 15 years to get back out of this one. The truth of the matter is, heaven is not a city. God gave us an example of what heaven was in Eden. What does that look like, Pastor? I have no stinking idea. God said an angel with a flaming sword that went in every direction to guard the only entrance in while man was still on the earth. And I will tell you my theory, and this is my theory. Eden was a real place. Eden has to be still on this earth. I believe Pangaea broke up, and that's why we have the continents as we do now. Okay? If you look at them, they do kind of fit back together. Even a kindergartner can say, hey, this piece goes here. And the soils match on either side. The soils that are in California are the same soils that are over in Japan. Similar plants grow on both coasts. Personally, because God said man will never enter back into the garden, I believe Antarctica is where they will find the real Garden of Eden. It is not in a desert spot in the middle of Israel. Israel's location has nothing to do with the Garden of Eden. I will tell you this. In the book of Enoch, when the angels that had led the rebellion and they fell, they had created the giants and all this, and God overthrew them. He bound them in chains, and the Bible says he threw them into a pit, and he covered it with a rock. That, it's basically a mountain, but that mountain is 5 miles outside Jerusalem. So why did God choose Jerusalem to be the seat of his authority? Israel is the protector to keep those rebellious leaders at bay until judgment. That's why there's such a fight over Jerusalem. They ain't fighting over Jordan and further down. They want Jerusalem because Jerusalem has the influence over that region. It's a spiritual thing. Okay? But I believe that the garden, because they have found, they've drilled down, they have found tropical plants come back up in the ice. I mean, that just blows my mind. And I hear this thing is down there on the bottom just freezing all by itself. Well, you know, Pastor, you had to put all this stuff there first. He put that down there so that it would be protected. Because this has only been in the last 20 years, they've discovered that. It's only been in the last how many years that we've been able to go down there and not freeze to death? There's a whole lot. Well, the polar ice caps are melting. Yeah, God's letting things change. It's telling us we are in the last days. Whether this is 10 more years, my lifetime, Carter's lifetime, I don't know. These are the last days. God has no timeline like ours. So, in the beginning of man's existence, God said, subdue the earth. Bring it into subjection. Bring it into order. Why would he tell us to take something that's wild and bring it into order, but give us a garden as an example? Keeping in mind that the Bible says that it was God's habit that in the cool of the afternoon, he would come down and walk through the garden. By the way, Adam walked with him. Talk about an experience. God's walking through the garden. Don't you believe that at the edge of the garden, that Adam didn't just go 100 miles away from the garden and start working? He started right at the edge of the garden. He says, here's my example. I'm going to bring it and make it look like that. The example kept going. So every time Adam moved forward with bringing the earth into subjection and order, the garden got bigger. God got to walk further with him. He got to spend more time with God. It is our desire for God's presence. See, I don't desire, I'm not longing to just go to heaven because I can only feel God's presence there. You need to understand the two people primarily that are noted for really saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and to pray for Jesus' quick return were Paul and John. Do I need to tell you about their life? One was beaten, one was stoned 3 times to death. God resurrected him out from underneath that pile of rocks. John was thrown on an island that everybody died because they starved to death. And when he didn't die, they pulled him off the island and let him live out his years in a home. These two men had suffered greatly, and they were tired. Our desire now, even our flower beds, folks, your flower beds, and this is why I have a hard time when people will not even clean up their homes. You don't have to live in the Taj Mahal, okay? You do not have to have that. If that is not you, do not do it just because you think you got to try to match somebody else. That is covetousness, and it is not of God. But I cannot understand when you will not bring it into order. Clean it up. Pick your stuff up. That is what God is. God is a God of order. And I'll tell you right now, if you say, oh, I just can't find any peace in my house. If I walk in and you got clothes swinging from the fan blades, right there's why. You are in chaos. In chaos, there is no order. In order, there's peace. That's where you will find it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it takes 5 minutes to pick your clothes up when you take them off. Or it's going to take you 5 hours a week later to clean your house. Because that mess, well, I got a mess there. I just keep making a mess here. See, I got yelled at the other night because I took my clothes off and laid them on my chair in the dining room. And she's like, I'm like, but I'm going to put them back on. I'm just waiting for the phone call. It's right there. I'm on the couch. It's right there. Yes, but we have a room that's right here. So yeah, I know I'm not the only man in here who's guilty of this. But our desire to take our dwellings, our homes, like I said, you do not have to say, well, I've got to be right here. It's got to look like the Kingwood Center. No, your home does not. Okay? You do what you like. Okay? Now, if you want to decorate with a toilet bowl, that's your prerogative. I mean, really, there's a few people have done it. A few people have turned bathtubs into the little shrines for Mary. That's kind of using your head. I'm sure those little things aren't that cheap, and you got a free bathtub, why not? But anyhow, however, you do what you want, what makes you happy. Well, Pastor, it's not about whether I'm happy or not. Then why is God concerned about your happiness? Why is God concerned about that? Proverbs says the man, I believe it's in, I want to say, it left me. But anyhow, Proverbs says that, no, he who trusts in the Lord, happy is he. If you, that's kind of paraphrased, but that will hold water. You can look it up. I believe it's like Proverbs 16. But God is concerned about your happiness, but it's you trusting in him. And as I sat there, we were talking about this. You know, people say to me, oh, I just want to go home. I just want to be with Jesus. I'm sorry, but I'm with Jesus right now. He's in me. His spirit dwells inside of me. And wherever I go, he goes. That's why David, a man who the Bible says was after God's own heart, was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You need to understand this. At the time, he was not the one the Holy Spirit was resting upon. He just knew God's presence. That's what made him a man after God's own heart. He didn't have to be in the temple. If this is the only place you feel God, I weep for you. I really do. Because you haven't got the revelation of who God is and who you are. David is talking about walking in perilous times, as we preached about last week, and letting God's peace reign. Now, he's talking about walking in those perilous times, but trusting God. You know, because you know what he said? He said, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, just so you know, he didn't really say, God, you're there with weapons. He said, your rod and your staff. He was recognizing the things that he had. What do you have? You have your trust. You have your faith. You have authority now that David never had. Oh, but the doctor says this. Well, okay, the doctor's doing his job. God said this. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes you were healed. Well, I still had to go through this or this. Welcome to the club. Sometimes you do, and there's a reason. Well, I just don't see it yet. Well, you're not going, dude, because you're so full of doubt. You haven't trusted God with anything yet. So now, but I pointed out to her, I said, but you know, here's what I realized. I said, I feel, sitting on my front porch, I got a little peeling paint, you know, we're going to deal with that. We had a leak that just kept taking the paint away. We got the leak fixed, and we weren't going to paint the ceiling until we figured out for sure the leak was done. And, you know, I got some missing grass. I got a pile of rocks over here, some tile I need to bury, you know, just some little things. But I told her, I sat there, and I said, but I feel the presence of God right here. I said, I look around, and I see this beautiful cherry tree right in front of me. And I look over here, and here's a silver maple. Over there's a cottonwood tree. There's a pine tree. There's a fir. I have all these, and I said, now let's go to the grasses. And if it weren't for all the different kinds of grasses in my yard, I wouldn't have grass. Particularly right now, clover. As many of you are in the same boat. But I looked around and I said, and the same God who created me and loved me created all of this so that I would know He exists. Every last bit of it. All the different birds that sit around. There's sometimes we leave our patio door open to our bedroom, and since it's our only real window. And the birds, we know when it's 5 o'clock. They're sitting right out there in the yard looking for the worms. And they're chirping and chirping and chirping. And I can tell you right now, the robins are the noisiest one of them all. But I don't wait. Oh, them stupid birds. Why don't they just shut up? I can shut the window. But I enjoy hearing the birds chirp. This morning we were sitting there, a million crows flew over. And I'm convinced that whoever came up with the thought of the flying monkeys on the Wizard of Oz and how they acted and how they were going, they saw a flock of crows, because that's exactly what they reminded me of. It's they were thank God they kept flying. They went right over. But then we heard a woodpecker, and we could hear all the other birds, you know, sitting around. And the same God who created heaven and earth has given me a desire, because He gave it to all of us, in subdue the earth and bring it into subjection. And that's why I believe we are responsible for how we treat it. Okay? But in that, we have to take care of it. We don't make our living all by farming, but we're all called to bring this earth into subjection. You got your little corner, you take care of your corner. You fix it up. How you find it. How you find peace and joy. I love looking at flowers. We planted 31 hostas the other day on the hillside. I'm going to tell you right now, this was just from two bunches that I salvaged from a job that I dug up by their steps. They filled the bed of that truck. But we planted them on the hillside because nothing would grow. Couldn't even get good grass growing. Poison ivy grows there. But I took care of that. Yeah. I was wearing gloves too. A little Roundup, though, had taken care of all but a few pieces. But you see, folks, I feel God's presence there. I can go into woods, and my house, I'm bringing it around my place into order. And I told Angela, I said, you know, God put this desire in us to bring things into order. I said, I'm looking at areas that don't really matter in my yard. I got a hillside, I've got a waterway, and I've got a fence row. They're in disorder. I said, and there's a part of me that's wanting to go bring them into order. However, God just showed me. We live in a fallen world still. And what I love about my place, the squirrels, the rabbits, the chipmunks, if I go and I take away all of their habitat now, their ability to hide, I will take away their home and they will leave. And I won't get the enjoyment because I will not shoot them on my property. Now I'll hunt a rabbit somewhere else, but they're safe on my property. Now, coyotes are a different deal. Groundhogs are a different deal. I got two of them moved in. No, I didn't want to use that word. But that is the word I'm going to do. I'm going to evict them with much prejudice. But I can walk around just the other night. How many of you have been able to see Mars? Oh my goodness. If you haven't seen, I don't know how much longer it's going to be visible, but I know it's just a short time. I kept waking up like 4 o'clock and we'd sleeping with that door open and I'd look out and it's like, man, that, I don't remember that being there. And the other night I just decided to step out on the deck off of our bedroom and I looked. I'm like, what is that light shining? That's not the tower. The tower's over here. What is that? So I went and got my shoes, and I'm walking around, and I get her out there, and it's Mars. This bright light that is shining through the trees. And I had to think, God, you know, you created all of this. And even walking in the dark, walking around my house, I told her, I said, the only thing I was concerned was we do have a raccoon or two trying to find some scraps from time to time around there. And I just didn't want to get jumped by a big raccoon. But I said, walking around in the dark and looking up at the stars and the light that they bring and knowing that they are merely reflecting our sun. And how bright that light coming back is as far as those planets are concerned. The moon, all of this stuff. God put it here for us to enjoy and to know his presence is with us. Even in the night. Oh, but Pastor, things are dark. Things are a little tight. Things are a little tough right now. Listen, if things don't get tough, you'll never know what good is. I hate to say it that way, but unless you go through a tough time from now and then, you won't ever know what good is. You'll never know what peace is unless you know what turmoil is. So you have to trust God and hold on to the peace that he gives you. And this is where we go into the cream bite of our creamsicle today. Trusting God. You have to trust him. Jesus, how many times did he tell his disciples, "What? Oh, you of little faith." What do you think faith is? We get this great big explanation. It is nothing but one little word. Trust. Do you trust me? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust God? God has called you to go to the other side. Do you think he's going to allow the ship to sink? I talked about people's insane fear of flying. They've never gotten on a plane. I think it's insane. Well, I'm afraid of that. Why are you afraid of it? I just am. It's totally irrational to me. If you got bit by a dog, I can understand your fear of dogs. If you got bit by a brown recluse or a black widow, I might understand your fear of spiders. But you didn't. So it means it's an irrational fear that is brought on totally by the devil. And you need to overcome it. And I ain't saying you go lay around in a bed of spiders and let them crawl all over you. I'll tell you right now, I've been in some tight spots before where a spider went crawling across my back. And, you know, they were really tight spots. And I ended up with a knot on this side of my head and on that side of my head. I'm not a big fan of anything crawling across my neck or my back if I don't know what it is. Now, those squirrels a couple weeks ago, I'm telling you, it was all I could do to sit there and let that squirrel crawl up the back of my neck. But Jesus has never asked us anything but to simply trust him. What did he tell the man who brought his son who had epilepsy? And he kept having these seizures and the spirit would throw him into the fire. And he said, only believe. Trust me. That's all he asked. Believe in me. That's all I'm asking you. Do you trust me? Is all he's ever asked. And why don't we trust him? He's not a brother or father that has ever lied to us. And he promised us we were going to go through hard times. So every person running around, I shouldn't be going through this. Well, what makes you any different than our Savior? What makes you different than Paul, Peter, John, all the disciples? What makes you better than them? Well, I've got more revelation. I'm sorry, they had the revelation. He was right there in the flesh. So don't tell me you've got more revelation than they did. It's because you're a weenie. It's time you grow up and understand every person on this planet is going to go through hard times. They're going to go through glorious times. And there's going to be days it looks like the wicked are going to get away with it. But they won't. God will see to it. Well, I just want to see justice. And that's why God said, let vengeance be mine. If we quit worrying about trying to get revenge, man, how much more better would your life be? You ain't got to get revenge against anybody. God will pay them back, because all you're going to do is pay evil for evil. And guess what you're going to receive? More evil. It's a seed. In Psalm 37:4, I actually want to open that one. And I want to go to 3, though. That's why I wanted to open it. I know 4 by heart. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. If we trust in God and we do good, we will receive faithfulness and we will feed on. It will sustain us. It will hold us. It will give us life. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, we maybe understand that scripture, hopefully, a little bit more. Everybody's, well, I delight in the Lord, but I'm just so worried. You do not delight in God if you have 1 ounce of worry in your body. 1 ounce. That's not much. If you got a drop of worry about your children, about your future, about your wife, about your life, about your husband, about what's going on, you do not trust God. Because you have to be able to go from one step to the next in an instant with God. Everybody, well, God says my steps are ordered. Yeah. You just don't get to see the order they're in. You don't know where they're at. Well, I think this is how God's leading me, and this is the, you know, this has been my desire ever since I was a young child. I'm going to China. Did God call you to go to China? Yes. Then why didn't you answer me in Mandarin? Come on. If it's been something that you know God has called, why are you not preparing? I didn't know God was going to call me to this. I would have ran further. I'm just telling you the truth. That's exactly what I would have done back then. I was running from God when I joined the Marine Corps. And son of a gun, if I found out you can't outrun him. I should have paid attention to Jonah a little better. Thank God the ship wasn't going to sink and they threw me in the ocean. Would not have been a good time. For us to trust in God means everything is his. When you say, God, I surrender my children. I surrender my spouse. I surrender my life. I surrender my job to you. Well, then, when you lose your job, don't come go boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Maybe God's opening a door for you to get out of the problem. You know, I know I've mentioned this before, but when Katrina went through, so many people were quick to jump on and say, it's the judgment of God for sin in that city. I'm sorry, but the same garbage happens in Mount Gilead, Ohio. It's going on here. Well, they're a little more boastful, a little more prideful about it. Oh, for crying out loud. Sin is sin. The religiosity that goes on in this town could choke a horse. That's sin. Well, I'm the deacon of the church. Go home, cuss your wife out, and beat her up. No, what you are is a putz. Don't look that word up in Yiddish. It just hit me when it came out. But you know what I'm saying. You are not a man. You are a religious heretic. That's what you are. When all that came out and everybody just jumped on, it's the judgment of God on New Orleans. It's the judgment of God on President Bush. It's the judgment of God on the United States. Oh, for crying out loud, if it was a judgment of God, we wouldn't be here. Exactly.
it would be a little scorched. Because he said, I won't do it by water again. So, but they interviewed a priest who was from New Orleans, who was in that. And he said, so many people are coming out and they're saying this is the judgment of God. He says, I tell you, it is the mercy of God because it pushed people out of the barrios. It pushed them out of a lifestyle that they had been raised in, generation after generation, raised in something, steeped in sin and laziness. It pushed them out, is what it did. So many people had to relocate. Well, we lost everything. Do you have your life? Well, yes, then you didn't lose everything. There's a country song. There probably won't be a day go by I don't reference a musical, some song, okay? I love music. I know a lot of people are like, if you can't preach, you can't talk without talking about music, you ain't edumacated. Well, I'm not edumacated. I'll just tell you that straight up right now. I came from the school of hard knocks, and I have a master of nothing. But there's a song called This Ain't Nothing. An old man's being interviewed because a tornado tore his house apart. And they're asking him, what are you going to do now that the tornado took everything away from you? He starts going down his life. And he says, this ain't nothing. It's a house. Oh, but Pastor, they lost their livelihoods. They got jobs. God sent President Trump to create the machine that's going to get things rolling again. I don't care what your thoughts are on Trump. God sent him. God told me before he even said he was running, he's going to be your president. I told you that Obama was going to be the president twice. Preachers running around, oh, we're just so worried. Oh, the church failed. The church didn't fail. Snot. The church did exactly what God knew it was going to do. And God said, I have to have this happen to reveal things. I'm just sick and tired of preachers running around beating up the church because, well, they let it happen. I don't know about y'all, but I know every last one of you voted in here. I had to tell one preacher, I said, I don't think there's a person in my church brave enough not to vote. And if you ain't registered and you're old enough, get your can down to the office and get registered. And then you get out and you vote. Well, I'm not going to vote because, you know, I just don't. Well, then I don't want to hear your personal opinion on anything ever again. You just keep your two lips shut. Okay, I'm getting off my message. I don't know what this might be chocolate chip. I don't know. It's a little odd in the middle of the cream. But we have to trust God. Daniel, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, do you think he was, oh, hallelujah, I'm being thrown into the lion's den?
No.
No, he wasn't. You're right. No, he wasn't. He wasn't rejoicing, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven tonight. No, because he trusted God because God told him, I have a purpose for your life. And if God's got a purpose for your life, he will take you through the lion's den. And he will shut the mouth of the lion. And you can lay your head up against him and sleep in peace at night. And then get up in the morning and watch the very people who had you thrown into that lion's den, themselves, their wives, and their children, all thrown to the same fate you were supposed to die by. And a revival struck the land because one man trusted God. What happens if all of us just trust God? Oh, they're gonna do this. They're gonna take away our tax exemption. You take away my tax exemption, watch what God will do to you. There will be a consequence. When the Bible says, touch not my anointed, he means it. We have to trust God. and everything. Well, God, things are shifting. Yeah, I know. By the time I thought things had shifted, God said, here's another gear. We're shifting you something else. I'm like, okay. I see, God. I'm getting the bigger picture now. I'd got pigeonholed. God said, we're going to kind of open your horizons a little bit. We will trust God no matter what comes. These babies, you know, the Bible talks about in the end times, woe to those who are pregnant. People say, I wouldn't want to be raising a kid in this generation. Well, as long as your dumb butt doesn't, we will. We will raise godly men and women to rise up and fill the gap. That's what we will do. You worry wars. You don't need to spread that disease any further. I would rather teach my children to trust God and watch what He does. The first thing I taught my children was tithing. You tithe and watch what God, and Joshua, he'll testify. Jesse, they'll testify. What God will do. What God will bring you when you honor Him. When you choose to live a godly life, so much more opens up to you. Well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Well, neither am I. I mean, shoot, I used the word putz in church twice. I want you to know right now, there's a lot of words you use, right? You use every day, and they're actually of origin of a different language. Some of you be crawling under the rocks if you knew what you were really saying. Just saying, before you go judging me. Well, pastors, I don't believe godly men ought to be talking like that. Your Bible tells us no corrupt language. How about we get into that word corrupt? It means lifeless. It means rotten, filthy, dying, full of death and disease language. Let me tell you the most filthy, rotten, disease language I can ever muster up to say. God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm worried. That right there has absolutely no life in it. That, in my opinion, is more what God was worried about. Well, you know, Pastor, listen. There were certain words I wasn't allowed to say just because my mom didn't like them. Were they dirty words? No. And I'm going to tell you right now, we had to call flatulence fluffies. Because my mom was offended by it. I'm like, that is not a fluffy. I don't know what you call fluffy, but that was hard. That was very harsh. I know about Florida the first time I let the word that I called them, because that was a word she didn't want us using. And I'm not going to try to offend anybody here today. But if we's outside, you can, if you cut the cheese, you float a biscuit, whatever you want to call it. Hey, people get offended about that. Oh, we shouldn't be talking about that in church. Why not? It's a part of life. We all do it. Some of you done it in church. These are plastic chairs, just so you know. That is a resounding board. Okay. But if, listen, folks, when we trust God to lead us and guide us, one of the greatest things I think God ever did for me, He shut an entire plant down that built buses. I wasn't the only one that I'm sure got better deal out of it. Oh, things were a little tough. We really had to trust God. I got cut down to making a third of what I used to. Y'all try to figure out how you're going to pay your bills when you've been living on a certain amount. And now you're at a third of that. We trusted God.
And God brought the ways and the means in which to do it. Had to learn to suck up my pride when people wanted to bless me. Well, got to get rid of that because, well, you know what? I ain't going to turn that down. It was one of the greatest blessings to ever happen was for me to lose that job. Because losing that job pushed me to a point of trusting Him with everything. Up until that point, I'd have always been looking to my employer as my supplier. I made really, really good money, especially for 1995. Then my next job after that was $5 an hour. I went from 18 to 5. Talk about trusting God. Boop, 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 boop. Just kept right on going. Trusted God with each and every step. And then God says, now, how about that desire in your heart? You mean to own my own business? Yeah, when are you going to start that? Oh, I don't know. And I was still kicking around, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, God sent a couple to our church, and they said something. They were asking if I knew any painters. I said, well, I'm actually going to start a business painting. I hadn't done the first thing yet. Let me tell you what God did. God gave me a truck. God led me to a job to do, and that was the starting point. From that point on, I kept right on moving. And recently, I was talking to somebody, and I said, wow. I said, it's been almost 20 years. 20 years. I'm going to tell you right now, all those times when I lost my job, I had to learn to trust God to take care of me, take care of my family. And I'm going to tell you, if you cannot trust Him right now with one little thing, you are sinning. I'm just going to say it out flat out like that. When Jesus said, do not worry, everybody wants to obey only the commandments. Thou shalt not worry. That's how it would read if it were not in the New Testament. Number 11, thou shalt not worry. You can't change anything. Well, I'm just so concerned about what's going on overseas in Russia and Syria and all this stuff. And oh my goodness, do you know it's been going on for centuries? You get up, thank God for the day, thank Him for ordering your steps, and you just take off marching. Do not spend time worrying about what your children are doing like Job did. They might be sinning. Well, if you think they might be, they probably are. Pray for them. And then you pray that God orders their steps right into somebody who's going to knock them out spiritually. Or maybe physically. Sometimes that's what it takes. Run into somebody bigger and badder. As my brother put it the other day, a come into Jesus moment. So today, I want you to quit worrying. Trust in God. And if you can't feel His presence at home, you're the problem. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, folks. Here, listen. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane for a reason. I don't think it's a coincidence that He would always go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He went somewhere that felt like home. Why do you think we plant gardens? Why do you think we put beautiful flowers around us? I'm going to tell you right now, everybody just keeps talking about heaven being clouds and great big gates and gold and silver and pearls and all this stuff. I got a feeling the trees in heaven dwarf the redwoods. By the way, the same God put them there too. 300-foot-tall trees. And man glorifies, well, we built a 30-story building. God said, I built one that just keeps growing. As a matter of fact, God said, I did it so well. If you never watched anything about the redwoods and sequoias, you need to. They're spectacular. Those trees over there, because they can't get the water because their canopies are so big to their roots, those trees will actually pump the water in from the air and pump it through themselves. They're one of the only trees in the world to do this. It's phenomenal. I think we're at, 360 feet tall right now? And they're still growing. And man's rejoicing. Well, yeah, we built this 40-foot or this 40-story building, you know, and in 60 years it's going to have to come down, maybe 100 years. These things are 2,000 years. You find me anything man has built that's 2,000 years old and still going. We can find 2,000-year-old stuff. It's been destroyed by man. And I'll be honest with you, I personally thank God that somebody got smart and said, why are we cutting all these big trees down? We can harvest some of these other ones. We do not need to take these big guys down. We saw it as a challenge. I know. Lots of other things to be doing. Because if they had to cut them all down, I couldn't be standing up here telling you folks, I'm going to go see one. Couldn't tell you that. I'm going to go see a stump. That's all I'd be able to tell you. I'm going to go look at a stump where magnificence used to stand. Just trust God, and you start pushing in on your own. If you got a porch, you got a deck, wherever, sit down with your coffee. I'm going to tell you, I like my mobile devices. But you take that thing and you flush it down the toilet if you have to. If you cannot separate from it, leave it somewhere else and go out and enjoy what God has created. Oh, but this meme on Facebook is so stinking funny. And yet, it's not. Because what is funny is watching two rabbits jump up and down in front of each other. I think it was a courting dance. I'm not for sure. We figured out the big one might be the female because she's been running from the littler ones. That's all I can say. All right, let's stand. Don't waste any more time from this day forward worrying. Trust. Well, I don't know about my job. Just trust God. Well, I need to make a living, Pastor. Yeah, sometimes God's opening a door, and sometimes God has to shut your foot in the door to get you out of the other one. And I've had my foot in the door before. And when he shuts it, he gives you half a heartbeat to get your foot out of it. And then it's coming back. He wants you to understand that that's how much he loves you. That he's got good for you, not harm. Just as Jeremiah 11 says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I know the future I have for you to give you life and a hope. That's why Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, I also came to give you life, not just life, but life more abundantly. If we're going to spend all of our time worrying about stuff, how am I going to feed another face? That's kind of what we thought. How am I going to love another one anymore? It was amazing. You know, now here we are, grandparents, and we got a little one. And I'm like, I love him the same. He looked at me. He heard my voice. And we all said, well, he's heard that voice a lot. Because her dad was standing there. He talked to him. Nothing. I walked over and said, hey, buddy. But the eyeball was still doing this thing. It was still searching. Trust me, when you get to recognize, you hear God's voice enough like that, you'll know instantly when it's God saying, hey, trying to get your attention here. That's why they've discovered now it's important for you to talk to your babies. We talk to all ours. They hear your voice. It might be a little, but they get it. God's been saying nothing but I love you. Trust me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing that hurts worse is when your kids don't trust you. Oh, great. Go ahead. For God, yeah. Amen. Amen. No point in worrying about it. Amen. Yeah. Problem arises, God solves it. That's all there is to it. And yeah, and no matter how much we try to figure out how am I going to do this, God says, just relax. I got it. I'll take care of it. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful and glorious day. We thank you for the refreshing rains to restore our crops. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for your life that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the new life yesterday, new life to come very soon as well. Lord, we praise you for all that you do for us, for everything you do just to show us you love us. Thank you for your word, Father, that you use it to change us, to grow us, and to make us stronger people. Help us to love unconditionally. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord. I pray, Father, that as they walk out of here, Father, if they have not felt your presence anywhere but here, but Father, that you would wrap them in your arms and show them how much you love them outside of these doors. In Jesus' name. Amen.